Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. So yesterday, I was watching, like probably the rest of America. Did you see these record ratings for the NCAA tournament? Apparently, the ratings have been through the roof, which this tournament is so... The margin between, I mean, we saw with the Farley Dickinson and Purdue, but the margins between these teams are so small. And so it's been a very exciting tournament. And I got to believe that the Kentucky-Kansas State game had massive ratings on CBS yesterday. I don't know if they've come out or not. I'm sure they're going to come out soon. And I bet they are massive for that kind of game. That team, Kentucky basketball, it's like we said on the show. The reason why Tennessee had to play at 11:30 at night on Thursday is because CBS is going to want to put Duke in prime time. And that's why they stuck Tennessee and Duke right there in the middle of the day Saturday, which is a good TV window. And then Kansas right thereafter. You know, they put the Blue Bloods on CBS in the hot time. And so Kentucky was right there in the middle of the day. So I'm watching the game, probably like the rest of America. And it was an intense game. I'm not going to say it was a well-played game because I thought it was kind of sloppy. And I'm not going to say it was a well-coached game because I didn't feel like any coach made some kind of decision that all of a sudden just, whoop, just kind of changed favor in the game. But Kentucky lost. Now, as I'm sitting there, remember, I went to Louisville. As I'm sitting there, for some reason, I was rooting for Kentucky. And I don't know why that was. And Caroline texted me yesterday, and she said, you know, she goes, I was the biggest anti-Kentucky fan there ever was. And I texted back like, I was rooting for UK. And I don't know why I was rooting for UK. I don't have any allegiance to Kentucky. In fact, if anything, I have an allegiance to anti-Kentucky. Now, I was never one of these Louisville fans that hated everything Kentucky did. I mean, when I was in college, I worked in women's hoops. We played Kentucky once a year. It wasn't the number one thing on my mind. It wasn't the number one thing on the team's mind. When I was on the radio there, I realized, you know, how much the people in the city hate each other, you know, how much they hate those schools. But I didn't feel that when I was in college. And then, honestly, when I was on the radio, you know, the Louisville fans were just as crazy at times as the Kentucky fans. So, you know, I took sides. But it wasn't like, I'm pro-Louisville everything or whatever. But I'm watching Kentucky, and I'm thinking to myself, if they don't win this game, John Calipari will have won one NCAA tournament game since 2019. Kentucky will have not made a Sweet 16 since 2019. Kentucky doesn't even win games in the SEC tournament anymore. And I don't think it's a coincidence that John Calipari signed his quote-unquote lifetime contract in the summer of 2019. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching that game, and I felt like Kentucky should have pulled away at the beginning of the first half. The way that Tennessee pulled away at the end of the first half against Duke is what Kentucky should have done at the beginning of the second half. They went on that 11-0 run. And I'm thinking, okay, Kentucky, the SEC has proven they're the best conference in basketball through the first 4 days of this tournament. And the battle-testedness of the SEC is going to push Kentucky across the finish line, and they're going to win. And they didn't. And when push came to shove, Antonio Reeves didn't make his shots, and Jacob Toppin didn't make his shots, but it's not really about that. It's about Calipari. At the end of the day, at the University of Kentucky, you have to win. At least that's the way that it's been told to me. Now, I also feel the same way about Duke, but I've never seen Duke not win in my lifetime. And when I say not win, I don't mean, you know, I've never not seen Duke win the title. Of course, I've seen Duke not win the title. I've seen Duke not make the tournament. But on a consistent basis, Duke will find their way to the Sweet 16. Duke didn't make the Sweet 16 this year, but they were in the Final Four last year. Carolina didn't make the tournament this year, but they were in the national championship game last year. And my guess is Carolina and Duke will be back. Kansas is not in the Sweet 16, but they won the national championship last year, and I think Kansas will be back. And in my lifetime, Kansas has never been consistently bad. For Kentucky basketball to go this long without making it to a Sweet 16 is ridiculous. This is like what's happened at Indiana. But if you're under the age of 30 years old, you don't consider Indiana basketball to be an elite program. If you're 45 years old or you're 50 years old, you think Indiana is as much of a blue blood as everybody else. I mean, I saw Ben Howland go to four straight, can't remember, Final Fours at UCLA a couple years later, hit the bricks, babe. Not getting the job done anymore. Because UCLA is a blue blood. And so Kentucky, for years, Calipari was the perfect coach. Because Calipari was slick, and you had an idea, maybe behind the scenes, what Cal was doing in order to get John Wall and Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and all these players. But at least they won. You know, they got to the Final Four. He only won one title, and that was with Anthony Davis, but at least they got to the Final Four. John Calipari has not been to a Final Four since 2015. And I think it's a part of me watching Kentucky basketball not win yesterday that I was thinking, what happened to the villainous John Calipari that was the anti-hero of everything Louisville Cardinal, that was the devil to a lot of people that I knew? Now he just looks like old half-assinate Cal. And that's not Kentucky basketball. So if John Calipari didn't have this lifetime contract, and it's not actually a lifetime contract, even though one of those hillbilly lawmakers in Kentucky thought it was, and so he's trying to get lifetime contracts for state employees banned, even though Cal doesn't actually have a lifetime contract. But if Cal didn't have this lifetime contract that pays him like $9 million a year through 2029, I think there's a chance John Calipari would be getting fired today. I think there, if not, his seat would be red freaking hot. I looked it up last year. This has been three straight tournaments where Kentucky hasn't made it to the Sweet 16. And, you know, if you want to throw out the COVID year one, that's fine. Because, you know, Kentucky was, I think, first in the SEC that year. So, who knows? They could have been a one seed and lost in the first round or second round or whatever, like they did last year as a two seed and they lost at St. Peter's. But can't hold that against them. So it's really 3 years. It's not 4 years. It's 3 years without a Sweet 16. You know, Tubby Smith never went 3 years without making it to the Elite Eight until he got fired. That Tubby went to the Elite Eight in 2005. And then I believe Tubby was gone at the end of 2007. So Tubby Smith never did what Calipari has just done at Kentucky. And to be perfectly honest with you, when Tubby got fired at UK, I mean, I kind of felt like Tubby had been a good coach and UK had had good teams, but it was time. Like, it was time for Kentucky to go out and get somebody that was going to come in and win. Now, they brought in Billy Gillespie, and that was an unmitigated disaster. But after that, they pivoted to Calipari, and they were right back at the top of college basketball. So if John Calipari didn't have a lifetime contract, I think his seat would be so hot that I would probably put it at 45% that he'd be getting fired today, and I would put it at 95% if Cal doesn't make it to the Elite Eight next year that he would get fired. Now, the other side of this is I believe that Calipari has to get it right next year or Kentucky will find somebody to write that check. I think it's $40 million if they fire him today. I'm sure that number goes down by about 10 or whatever next year, so it'll be about $30 million. We have to think about Kentucky basketball like a football program. And if one of these high-end football programs, like Texas or like Ohio State, if they hadn't won for 4 years, I think they'd find $30 million to fire the coach. And then they'd go out and hire a new one. So I do think with the number one recruiting class in the country next year, I do think John Calipari enters next season on the hot seat. And let me say this, as somebody who is clearly not a Kentucky fan, but for some reason, and I don't know why, I was rooting for Calipari and Kentucky yesterday. He should be fired if he doesn't win next year. This is Kentucky basketball. This is not some random Power Five school. This is not Illinois. This is not Northwestern. This is not Iowa State. It's Kentucky. And at Kentucky, you got to make it to the Final Four now. I don't even think they have Sweet 16 banners there. I remember Matt Jones was on our show a couple weeks ago at the SEC tournament, and I asked how many SEC titles Cal's won. He's like, I don't know. Because they don't care. Because it's Kentucky. So, man, Cal needs to be on the hot seat next year. They got to find out how to fire him. They got to get that money one way or another. 615-737-1025. We'll get your reaction on that. 615-737-1025. And one college basketball analyst was very angry with me as far as Calipari is concerned. We'll get to that coming up. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game.
John, you've talked a few times this week about how every job is tough and they come with their own things that make them difficult. But obviously one of the things that makes your job tougher than some is the expectations that surround Kentucky. As you mentioned, the number of things that probably went your way to still lose. Is there a sense of, or do you empathize with sort of the sense of frustration that I'm sure some Kentucky fans are feeling right now about kind of where things are?
I have empathy. You know, I understand what this program's about. And I think, again, that's what makes it what it is. And that's why I tell players this isn't for everybody, because the expectations are so high. And the same with coaching. It's not for everybody. This thing is, there's a high expectation level, and it is Kentucky. You put that on, the other team's going to play out of their minds, and they're going to play like they have nothing to lose. And that means you got to play that way. So, yeah, I understand it, but, you know, my concern of these kids, and I tried to keep what you're saying off of them. Obviously, with a couple, maybe I didn't do as good a job as I thought I did.
Calipari, I know there are high expectations of Kentucky. Well, you got to do something about it. But ever since he got his money, Calipari, they have not been to the Sweet 16. They have won one tournament game in three tournaments since Cal signed his quote-unquote lifetime contract. So yesterday on SiriusXM, as the Kentucky-Kansas State game wrapped up, I had Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst, ESPN. He's on game day. You know Coach Greenberg. I had him on the show. And honestly, like, again, it's a talk show. It's a show. And I was wondering, like, Coach Greenberg came on, you know, hey, great, rapid reaction. What'd you think? Well, I asked Coach Greenberg about Calipari, and I don't think Coach Greenberg was very happy. You brought up the recruiting class Coach Calipari is going to bring in next year for Kentucky. And I used to be on the radio in Louisville, so I know what it's like when Kentucky doesn't win. And I know that, you know, again, they haven't been to a Sweet 16 since 2019. I know Cal's got an unbelievable contract.
Well, one of those years, it was the COVID year.
So like, absolutely.
2019. So, I mean, that sounds a lot more dramatic than it is. So let's not sensationalize stuff.
But what do you anticipate kind of the reaction being, and what's fair fair?
Of course, you know what's the reaction going to be. Big Blue Nation's going to be up in arms. They'll be losing their minds. because it's a rite of passage to get to the Final Four because she did it so many times so quickly. But that's anywhere in the country. Matt Painter's going through it right now. The other guy's trying to win also. Kansas State, you know, played well. They have good players. I mean, what's the reaction? What do you think? You said you lived in Louisville. What do you think your reaction is going to be?
I think people are going to lose their minds. But I really wonder what's fair and what's not fair.
What's not fair is John Calipari holds himself to a higher expectation than the fans do. Does John Calipari think that, you know, getting to the second round is acceptable? No, he wants more. There's no doubt about it. And he'll work to try to figure it out. But I thought he did a good job with this year's team. What's fair? I don't know. Next year, probably go to an Elite Eight. That's fair. Let me ask you, you're on that area. Who are you going to replace him with?
Well, I mean, I think about it twofold. One, I think about the money and how much money's owed to him because they signed him to that contract.
They want to buy him out. If they want to buy him out, they can buy him out. Who are you going to replace him with?
I think it's a fair question because it would be somebody who there's no slam dunk candidate out there. And even a guy, you know, like an Eric Musselman or a Nate Oates or somebody like that probably uses Kentucky's interest to get a better deal where they already are.
I didn't realize that Nate Oates has been to 5 or 6 Final Fours and has the number one recruiting class in the country coming back. I love Nate. I think he's a great coach. I think Eric Musselman's done a great job. But, I mean, the one thing about Kentucky, people understand, coaching basketball is just part of the job of Kentucky.
So you could tell Coach Greenberg was not overly happy about that. So I realized, you know, Coach Greenberg didn't want to talk anymore about Calipari. Unfortunately, I asked another question about Calipari. And this was that interaction. Those jobs, Coach, and you know this because you've done this long enough, those jobs are just different. And I just don't know if there's a coach out there right now that I can highlight that I could say is necessarily ready to take on that kind of job. What do you think?
So then why are you asking me the question?
Because I know people are going to ask it here.
That's fine. And I'm telling you that John Calipari, they want to let John Calipari go. Good luck to him, because like the guy is as good as it gets at what he does. This was a last season. Obviously, disappointed St. Pete. Obviously, look, he understands that I'm sure he's disappointed. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's disappointed. But you know, I mean, I'm not going to sensationalize and answer, you know, like sensationalistic questions. Well, should they fire John Calipari? I mean, come on now. That's kind of silly, because you know, when you fire someone, you got to have someone to hot replace them with, and you know that's not my thing. You want to bring on some hot take guy, bring on some hot take guy. You want to bring on a guy that lived this thing for 33 years and ask me questions that are reasonable.
Coach, what do you think about your alma mater, FDU, tonight?
That's a reasonable question. I like it.
I mean, seriously, have a bigger stick up your tush. Like, in all seriousness, about the questions that I, you know, like, Ian, are those unfair questions about Calipari right after they lose?
I mean, I think those are kind of the questions that UK fans bring up.
Isn't that what everybody's talking about?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it's sports. That's what we talk about. When we talk about, you know, that job's different, it's because people care about that more than other places. And then Seth, Coach, had to get one more zinger on his way out. There you go, Coach Seth Greenberg. Coach, good luck to FDU. I'm sure that you will be blowing up everybody's phones at ESPN if FDU pulls off another big victory tonight, Coach.
I appreciate all the stimulating questions. I had a blast.
My goodness. Like, turn that frown upside down, Coach.
It's like, tourney time. Come on.
What were your thoughts on Seth Greenberg?
I mean, I guess I get where he's coming from, you know, but it's, you know, it's not all X's and O's during the tournament, you know?
Right.
Yeah, like I know you want to talk about the matchups and who's good and who's playing well and all that kind of stuff, but when Kentucky loses and out in the second round, those kind of questions I think are just natural.
So one time during a break, I asked Floyd, I was like, we were gossiping about something, and we went to break, and I turned to him and I said, when you got into this, did you think that you were going to be talking about, like, now this left guard's got good hips, and, you know, for this signing bonus, or did you think we'd be talking about this gossip that we're talking about now? And he looked at me and said, oh, I knew I'd be talking about bull nothing. You know, like, he knew, like, you know, like, Coach, that's radio! And you lose. You haven't been in the Sweet 16 in 3 years. He's like, well, you know, the 1 year was COVID. Okay, what about the other three after it? So Coach Seth Greenberg got mad at me. I got no problem with Seth Greenberg. I mean, I'm probably not going to be interested in having him on anytime soon because I just don't like people that get all whiny about stuff. But, I mean, man, he was mad at me yesterday. Had to get that zinger in there. Thank you for the stimulating questions. Sorry, Coach. Sorry, I'm not on your level of question asking. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tom is up next on John Calipari. Thank you for calling. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Jared, first of all, I appreciate your show. You call it like it is, no matter what sport it is.
Thank you.
And I can respect that. Yeah, I grew up in Kentucky. I now live in Clarksville, Tennessee. And the one sport that I can hold my head up high and be, you know, walked with my chest out was our basketball. Now it sucks. And the game has passed Calipari by, and he's so stubborn he won't change. And that's the problem. I am really curious about this talent that he's going to get next year, just how far he'll take it, or if he'll just play the same style of ball he's been playing for the last 10, 15 years, and it's outdated. And all the other coaches know it, and they know how to beat him.
So I think it's funny you say that. Thank you for the call, Tom. In that same conversation I had with Seth Greenberg, I talked about Oscar Tshiebwe. And I talked about how Oscar Tshiebwe, you know, dominates on the glass.
Crushing it, dude. He was killing it.
But they don't win because of it.
He gets his numbers regardless if they win or lose.
But
it
they
feels
don't
like.
Win because of it. And Seth was like, well, that's the NBA that's devalued that, not college ball. And I'm thinking, Edie at Purdue, he's out. Tshiebwe at Kentucky, he's out. The two big players for Duke, they're out. I mean, this whole like, yo, we're big man. They don't do that. It's a different game. That's how Farley Dickinson's the shortest team in all of Division I. They're not beating a 7'4" post player if Patrick Ewing is at Georgetown. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different game now. And I do agree that Calipari has really struggled to adapt to it. Kenny is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hello, Jared. Greetings from the Bellmead Post Office. We're listening.
You're the man.
I had some more fuel for you for Calipari. I love giving numbers instead of just saying an opinion. He's now finished his 14th year at Kentucky. Give me your best guess at how many first-round draft picks he has had in his 14 years. What would you say?
34
first-round draft picks and 8 more second-round picks, more than all the other SEC teams combined. Guys sitting on the bench at Kentucky, never take warm-ups off, would start at South Carolina and Ole Miss, and still he can't produce. It's like, how much better are the recruits you're bringing in than 34 first-rounders? So you have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. You know what's crazy, too, about Kentucky, which is, you know, forget about the whole, like, recruiting classes, because now, like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, this guy may be a first-round draft choice in the NBA. He's a one-and-done, but because I can just go get a fifth-year senior that's played Podunk State, I can just add him to the roster, and he's ready at 25 years old, and he's better than the guy that's going to be the number two choice in the draft, for the most part. You know, then there's, like, Brandon Miller at Alabama, and that guy's unstoppable. So the thing that's crazy to me about Calipari and Kentucky is that with all these great recruiting classes and everything else, when you watch them play, do you really feel like they're that more talented than everybody else? I mean, I used to when they used to win. Even when they used to lose, I used to think, man, they got a lot of talent. Now, I mean, they're fine. And that's not good enough. It's just Kentucky. That's not good enough. And it was really apparent to me when they lost to Vandy for the second time. You know, when they lost to Vandy for the second time without Liam Robbins, to me, that was Vandy playing with more heart and more togetherness both times. And that shouldn't happen at Kentucky. And I'm not knocking Vandy for saying that, because I have a lot of respect for this Vandy team this year. I mean, I love watching them play. But they took it to Kentucky twice in the span of a week. And to me, that's on the coach. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025, if you want to weigh in. So I guaranteed that Tennessee would lose. Obviously, they're still dancing. And I just can't get over one thing that we saw on Saturday. We'll get to that next. And if you're a Vol fan and you hate me and you love when I pick against them, you will hate this next segment. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
It's a rebound by Kamwar. Come on, Kamwar, let somebody else do something. Wow. What an impressive performance.
Incredible.
Rocky Top is going to the Big Apple. And the countdown is on. 6 seconds difference. Game clock, shot clock. Kamwar has 17 of the last 19 points for Tennessee. 8-3, no. Filipowski, and that will do it. The Tennessee. Tennessee Volunteers are going to the Sweet 16.
Tennessee headed to the Sweet 16, where they'll play Florida Atlantic, and then they'll play the winner of Michigan State, great coach in Tom Izzo, and Kansas State, great player in Marquise Noel, or at least what I saw of yesterday. It was the first time I ever watched Kansas State, so maybe he's a great player. I don't know. But on Friday's show, I was speaking a very different tune about Tennessee's chances on Saturday. This Duke team, I'm not sure I've seen a team yet in the NCAA tournament that's as good as Duke. I'm not sure. I mean, I look at Alabama, and I look at Brandon Miller, and I think to myself, I'm not sure that Duke is not going to overpower Alabama with their big size in there against Miller. And now Tennessee, who played one of the ugliest basketball games I have ever seen last night, without their starting point guard, now they're going to play that Duke team. I guarantee you, the way the two teams are trending and the matchup, I guarantee you Duke will beat Tennessee. I guarantee it. So many of the folks wondered on Saturday after Tennessee won, what are you going to say now, Jared? What now? And let me say this. That was the best coaching performance I have ever seen from Rick Barnes in a big game since he's been at Tennessee. Honestly, I don't even remember the 2003 Elite Eight. It might be the best coaching performance Rick Barnes has ever had in a big game, in which people were not expecting Tennessee to win, and Rick Barnes absolutely pulled Tennessee through via the game plan. It wasn't some guy going off. Though it's hilarious when a team loses, they'll always come to the defense of the coach. Well, it's not Rick Barnes' fault last year that Kennedy Chandler went cold from the field. But this year, make no mistake about it, this had everything to do with Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes looked at Duke, and he knew Duke had better players. He knew Duke had a better point guard. He knew Duke had the two best players on the floor, and Kyle Filipowski and Derek Lively. He knew it. And so he thought, okay, how can I beat this team? And this is where Rick Barnes' experience pays off. Because unlike John Shire, who was coaching in his second NCAA tournament game, and whose entire life experience in college basketball is Duke, 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 played at Duke, coached at Duke, head coach at Duke, Rick Barnes has been all over the place. This is probably Rick Barnes' 500th NCAA tournament game. And he's coached in the ACC. And the ACC as a league is softer than the SEC. Now, that doesn't mean that the SEC is better than the ACC, though this year, unquestionably, the SEC is the best conference in college basketball. And this year, they're way better than the ACC. The ACC stinks this year. But as far as the actual basketball, year in and year out, the ACC is soft. And Rick Barnes knows that, because Rick Barnes coached at Clemson. And so Rick Barnes knew, if I go in the game and I try to play it straight up with Duke, I'm going to lose. They have better players. If I go into the game and I tell my guys, and this is a mindset thing, that the mindset was, we have to be physical. We have to take it to Duke. We have to punch him in the mouth. We have to live with foul trouble. We have to, if that's the mindset, we got a shot to win. If that's not our mindset, if we just play him straight up, we're going to lose. And so I think Rick Barnes said, we got nothing to lose. This is our game plan. Let's go after it. And if John Shire and Duke, if they're tough enough to flex the bows back, and again, those two big guys, they're freshmen. But if they're tough enough to push back on Tennessee, if they don't back down, Duke's going to win. If the referees call it too tight, like they would if it were a regular season game at Cameron Indoor, Duke's going to win. But if we don't do that, Duke's going to win anyways. And so my guarantee almost included the assumption that Rick Barnes was going to poop his pants like he has done far too many times in the NCAA tournament, especially at UT. Their best team, that 2019 team that went to the Sweet 16, All that team did was crap its pants. That team had no clue. And so this team didn't. This team, excellent game plan. This team, when they needed Santiago Vescovi to step up, he did, and he hit every big shot on Saturday. When they needed Olivia Kamwa to play the best game ever, he did. And I got to give the credit to Rick Barnes. I did not expect that out of Tennessee, especially after the way they played Thursday night. Now, if you love Tennessee and you think I'm a big doofus and that you think that me guaranteeing Duke to win is the kiss of death, if you think that, you're going to hate what I'm about to say. I think Tennessee should make it to the Final Four this year. I know Zakai Ziegler's out, and so they don't really have a ball handler. And I'm surprised Duke didn't take more of an advantage of that, but Duke's soft. I would worry about Michigan State. That's the team that would scare me, is playing Michigan State and Tom Izzo on the back half of the Sweet 16, the back half of a weekend, where Izzo, where you get the one day. Because I think Izzo is a tremendous coach. Now, I don't know anything about Michigan State, but that would be the team I wouldn't want to play. I watched Florida Atlantic play Memphis, and I watched Florida Atlantic play against FDU yesterday. Tennessee's going to beat them. I'm not worried about that. Now, I could see it as a 50-50 game with Kansas State because, again, that toughness that we're talking about, Kansas State can play tough because they played tough yesterday against Kentucky. They got to give Kansas State credit. They didn't wilt. But I think there's a really good chance Tennessee's going to the Final Four. And I can't believe it when the bracket dropped and I saw Purdue and I saw Duke and I saw Marquette and I'm like, they're screwed. And now it's Florida Atlantic and either Michigan State or Kansas State. And this is a down Michigan State team. It's not a bad Michigan State team, but it's a down Michigan State team because they're not a two seed. They're not the traditional Tom Izzo, can't beat them kind of teams. I think Tennessee might go to the Final Four, which is a far cry from how I felt literally Saturday morning. Now, I did get nervous. I did get nervous when Chad Withrow came on the show on Friday, and he said all the pressure was off Tennessee because everybody was expecting Duke to win. And then I thought, oh, I never thought about that. Rick Barnes normally loses when he's expected to win. But I'm telling you, I think there's a really good chance Tennessee's going to the Final Four. Ian, how am I doing on my guarantees lately?
Oh, let's see. The old guarantee list here. Well, lately, I mean, the one before this one was Jared guarantees the Titans will re-sign Jeffrey Simmons. So that was back in February. We're still waiting on that. Before that, you've had a little bit of a, you know, kind of a rough streak of the guarantees.
Okay.
Jared guarantees Roger Goodell will drop the hammer and suspend Watson for the entire season. That didn't go so great.
Did not.
Jared guarantees that Tannehill will start the week versus Houston after his original ankle sprain. That was Wednesday, October 26th.
Lost that one.
That was incorrect. This one is still out in the air. Jared guarantees Alexander Carrier will not be on the team in 2 years. That was Tuesday, May 31st of 22. So we have a year on that one still.
Not feeling good on that, though.
Jared guarantees Philip Forsberg will re-sign with the Preds this offseason. That was correct. This one is a pretty good one right here. Jared guarantees Dylan Radins will not start at right tackle in 2022.
Oh.
That was correct. So, you know, those are some of the guarantees.
Well, Corey Davis was a guarantee, right? That he would not make the Pro Bowl with the Jets.
Where do I have that one?
I think that was one of the first guarantees when we started doing this.
Oh, that is, yes. Jared says Corey Davis will not make a Pro Bowl with the Jets Tuesday, June 15th, 2021.
See?
So far, that is, yeah.
Well, I'm not making any guarantees. Robbie Stanley is texting me in all capitals saying that I'm going to jinx the Vols. He said, well, you shut up. You're going to get the Vols beat by FAU. The Vols are going to beat FAU. You know, I'm not going to guarantee it because I don't feel that strongly about them beating FAU, but they're going to beat FAU.
I mean, well, I'll be honest. I was on vacation last week, so I was not listening when you made this guarantee. But I did get a text from reporter Nick that said, Jared guarantees that Duke will beat the Vols. And I almost got on Twitter just to tweet, Vols fans, rest easy. You got this in the bag. I did not. I was on vacation, so.
When you got that text on vacation, were you surprised or were you angered that you got texted on vacation?
I was not angered that I got texted on vacation because it wasn't like one of those that you have to get an immediate response. And I was not overly surprised. But like you mentioned earlier with Chad Withrow, as he mentioned, the Vols play much better when they are not the favorite.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, Kentucky fans should be allowed to lose their minds after Calipari loses early in the tournament. And I'm mad at someone for not letting them. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
For the Big Blue Nation, it's a basketball game.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling like I'm feeling right now, that's it. That's all I have.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, I agree with you. I appreciate that. I mean, if it is a basketball game, but what makes Kentucky Kentucky is that we care. The moment we start saying we shouldn't care or, well, it's just a basketball game, then why, you know, what's the point? Now, do I think people should lose their minds over this stuff? Of course not. Like, you have to have perspective. Like, we're going to laugh and have fun on our way to Beckley. At the same time, it matters. That's why we're Kentucky. The moment it stops mattering, it's not Kentucky.
And then you're every other fan base.
Exactly. And I don't want to see us get to that. I've seen a lot of our younger fans on social media who take UK very seriously sort of act like, well, you lose, and sometimes that happens. Well, yeah, but no. I mean, this is Kentucky, and there's a standard here, and I don't think that standard has been met the last few years.
That was Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, on the postgame show, the KSR postgame show, yesterday after the game. Now, Ian, can you guess why I went to the Kentucky Sports Radio postgame show yesterday, why I wanted to hear the Kentucky Sports Radio postgame show yesterday?
Do just some homework? Do some research?
No! I wanted to hear what
couch?
The crazies...
You want to hear some couch-burning talk?
Yes!
Okay.
I wanted to hear what the crazies at Kentucky had to say. Because you know how these post-game shows get sometimes? And
yep.
These, like, hillbillies, you know, like, it could be, you know... Remember that one time Georgia lost a game to Clemson? And this guy called in about Mark Richt and started crying, like, literally crying... And DJ Shockley was like, dude, chill out.
Alabama broadcasts, we used to carry those. Good broadcasts, but those post-game shows were long and sometimes wild.
I mean, that's what I was looking for. And so I'm listening to Kentucky Sports Radio's post-game show, hoping that we will get, you know, one of the all-timers. And, again, I like Matt Jones a lot. I mean, a lot of people in Louisville don't like Matt Jones. People tell me I shouldn't like Matt Jones. I like Matt Jones. We bring Matt Jones on the show every year before Tennessee plays Kentucky in football. Matt Jones says the same things about Tennessee every time. People text in the text line about how much they hate Matt Jones. It's like a yearly tradition. I like Matt Jones. And I think Matt Jones, there are very few people out there that I think are as good as I am at doing this, and he's one of them. And so I'm listening to the Kentucky Sports Radio postgame show yesterday, and I want to hear the crazies, and then I heard this.
Who's next?
Chris.
Chris, what's up, Chris?
14 years of John Calipari has reduced the greatest basketball program on the planet's fan base.
All right, is this Chris from Richmond? I appreciate the call. I appreciate it. I'm not listening to Chris from Richmond. He knows I don't. I mean, that's just not what I'm doing today. Who's next?
Rich.
Rich. Go ahead, Rich. And by the way, if you have negative points about the what I'm glad to let you make them. I'm not letting like a cartoon come on.
Why not?
Chris from Richmond, man, he got the cold shoulder quick.
That's why we listen. That's why. I love you, Matt. I do, and I mean it. But I'm not listening to hear your take on the UK game. I'm listening to hear what the Kukoks out in Lexington have to say. And when you cut them off, it's like, what? You're like, I'm fine for have all your takes today, but I'm not putting a cartoon character on the air. That's the point. We want to hear from the cartoon characters. We want to hear what they have to say. That's the point, right?
I think so.
I mean, I'm not bad-mouthing Matt. I love Matt. But, I mean, Matt, we want to hear the people. We want to hear the crazies. That's the point. We want to hear the wild talk about John Calipari. We want to hear. Years ago, there was a rumor about Mark Stoops' personal life that made its way out there after a Kentucky football loss. That's what we want to hear. So I was so disappointed because everybody else that called in was like, yeah, you know, I think that, you know, we needed to get some more shots to follow. I thought that when we went on that 8-0 run there at the second half, I thought we don't care about that. We want to hear the crazies. So I was disappointed. And I listened to the first hour of Matt's show today, and Matt was kind of inviting the crazies to be able to call in, you know, and talk about the state of the program. But I didn't hear a single caller while I listened, so I was a little disappointed with that. That's why we listen to these shows, is to hear what the crazies are going to say. Let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. I love Hiller. Hiller has been taking care of my home for years, and I promise you that they can do the exact same for you. Sometimes replacing equipment in your home can be overlooked until something breaks. But there's actually big problems that can come from old vintage HVAC systems. Older systems have higher repair costs. They require more maintenance and result in higher utility bills. Even worse, they can break down when you need them the most. This month during Hiller's Vintage Showdown, they're giving away a free HVAC system to the owner of the oldest unit. It's easy to enter. Just go online to happyhiller.com and submit a picture of you and your old unit. Plus, everybody wins with trade-in credits and 0% interest financing for up to 48 months on replacements. That's my guys, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They're fired up about the Vols because they're proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and the Nashville Predators. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.